with the birth of Jesus. The face of Jesus in a wordless baby, as Rachel said. Born in the fairly matter-of-fact way in which Luke's Gospel tells it to Joseph and Mary. A little strange to hear it away from Christmas. Still, it's worth just remembering that nothing quite like our Christmas was celebrated in the Christian church for centuries. And I guess for the first generations of believers, the birth of Jesus was of little consequence at all, was hardly known or speculated on. Paul doesn't mention it. The New Testament churches don't seem to have been told about it. The earthly life of Jesus seems to have been something of an irrelevance to those early Christian churches. They followed a risen Lord. They learned about the resurrection from Paul, and about the centrality of Christ's death, about the life of the Spirit. But of his birth, his life in Palestine, his teachings, his miracles, not so much. We would find it very hard in the 21st century to conceive of a faith without the Jesus of history. But we ought perhaps not to allow that fixation on the life of Jesus to obscure the Christ of faith. All of which is a long preamble to the faces of Jesus. The storytelling way in which we heard it this morning is, I think, quite inspired. That first face of Jesus, the wordless baby, looking up into his parents' faces and seeing the cross formed from the features of the human face, the line of the nose and the line running through the eyes. As if the very heart of the matter was written into the very flesh that Jesus saw and knew all around him. Not sure I've ever thought of the human face quite like that before. But the human face is, of course, today quite crucial. Our identity, personality, our humanity is much of it tied up with the face that we present to the world, and our world invests a huge amount in the human face. Face creams, age-defying, wrinkle-tightening unguents of various kinds, facelifts, nips and tucks, makeup, worn increasingly by men, I'm told. Mirrors, what would we do without them so that we can see our faces? Beard trimmers, spot creams, hair removers. Probably we wouldn't want to say that we are obsessed with our faces. Still, beauty goes a long way these days. Beauty kept for as long as possible. The Greek story of Narcissus could have been written for now. Narcissus saw his own face reflected in a still pond and fell in love with himself. Pity in our day the ugly, the disfigured. When a horror filmmaker wants to invoke fear in his audience, the cheapest way is to play around with the human face. Hannibal Lecter, you might remember, in Silence of the Lambs, biting the face of one of his victims, cutting off the face of another in order to effect his escape. Freddy Krueger, the anti-hero of the classic Nightmare on Elm Street series of films in the 1970s, with a great hooked nose, protruding cheekbones, staring manic eyes, and red, ruined skin. The fixed mirth makeup of the clown, the airbrushed perfection of the magazine model, What would we do without our faces? Did you hear this week that horses can, it seems, read human facial expressions very well? They respond positively to smiley faces and negatively to angry faces. The faces of Jesus. The first face of Jesus is the wordless baby discovering his world, as all babies do, through the faces of his parents and seeing in those faces the cross. How about that? How about if whatever we think of our own faces, however much our society reveres beauty and runs from facial imperfection, how about if our face contains a sign of our ultimate demise? The central features of our nose and eyes, a sign of the cross. And the baby Jesus sees. How about that? Would that be true of all human faces, I wonder, every human baby? Did we all, each one of us, discover in those first few days and weeks of existence our mortality? I'm not going to talk much more about this today. The point about this godly play approach to Bible storytelling is that we, every one of us, should respond in our own way. When children are told this story, they are encouraged to go and find something, maybe another picture, maybe an object from the other story baskets, maybe something they draw or write or make to bring and put alongside the face of the Christ child. Well, we're not children. Still, look around you, at the windows, at the mural at the front, at the colour scheme, at your fellow worshippers. What in the way of human experience, of worldly challenge, of creative response would you wish to put alongside the face of the Christ child? A colour? To show joy or pain? A picture of a faithful servant, William Tyndale or John Bunyan? A dedicated healer, a surgeon or nurse in the roundels in the window. A someone in need or with something to celebrate. At the outset of this series, all we are showing is the wordless baby who was the Word made flesh, seeing in the faces of those that love him signs of his destiny. Ahead of him, as of us all, lies a hard road and a cross. Later, Jesus will say to his followers, "Take up your cross and follow me." We all have faces. They express our joy or sorrow, our wonder, our confusion, our delight, our distress. The face of God? As the story of Moses on Mount Sinai illustrates, no one can see the face of God and live. As John's Gospel puts it, no one has ever seen God. But he continues. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. the human face of God. He lives as we live. He dies as we must die. And he rises in the power and love of God, shining in the face of Jesus Christ.